Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Even in these tough times, there's still so much to celebrate this Christmas. A message of peace and brotherhood that continues to inspire more than 2,000 years after Jesus' birth.
I picture things as the opposite of the days of the Reformers. Back then, people were terrified of God and his judgment and of his wrath. Where today, it's God loves you anyway. He doesn't require payment for your sins. He just kind of forgets about them.
Saddleback does not need to be taught on generosity. This is the most generous church in the world. You gave $2.4 million, a world record. Isn't that great? Woo-hoo!
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, security officials are saying that on Christmas Day, in that one instance, the system designed to protect us from terrorism or potential terrorists in the skies, didn't work. There were some human errors, say security officials, and that certainly is true. One wonders what attracts a man, in this case a Nigerian man, to the idea of getting on a plane trying to blow it up, along with himself and all its passengers, entering the United States. What inspires such activity and what attracts young Muslims to this kind of activity, terrorist and suicide attempts? We're going to be talking about that live this Monday, January the 4th, here on Issues Etc., back live with you after some much-needed vacation. We'll talk about this failed bombing attempt by an Islamic terrorist aboard a Detroit-bound airplane. Robert Spencer, founder of Jihad Watch, will be our guest for the first 15 minutes of this hour. Rita Marco will join us after that. We'll talk about a recent suicide ruling, an assisted suicide ruling by the Montana Supreme Court. Wesley Smith has written on it recently. He says it's good news and bad news, but we'll find out exactly what the Supreme Court in Montana decided was constitutional by way of physician-assisted suicide. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us to round off this first hour of Issues Etc. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do with her every week. The baptism of Jesus will be our stopping point. In the second hour of the program, Doug Johnson of National Right to Life will bring us up to date on abortion and health care reform. And then Terry Mattingly will join us for the remainder of the second hour to talk about the top religion stories of 2009. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's good to be back with you live. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address for questions and comments. We get them in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can always Twitter us with questions or comments at @issuesetc. Robert Spencer is a regular guest. He's founder of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
Todd, always a pleasure. Thank you.
I always wonder when I read these stories about young men boarding planes or trying to do something or succeeding in doing something in the name of Islam, what attracts them to these suicide attempts at terrorism?
It's a direct religious appeal. It is something that's rooted in the Quran, the Islamic holy book, specifically chapter 9, verse 111, which is the only guarantee of paradise. There's no assurance of salvation. There's no assurance of paradise in the Quran or in Islam in general, except in this one place where it says that Allah has made a promise that is binding upon him, that paradise is guaranteed to those who kill and are killed for Allah. And so this is somebody who was very devout by all accounts. Everybody who knew him in London, in Togo, in Nigeria, in all the places where he lived, they say that he was a very religious, very devout Muslim, a deep believer. And so he is somebody who undoubtedly was aware of this passage, aware of its import in being the only guarantee of paradise to Muslims. And he understood that it meant that in order to be assured of a place in paradise, he had to kill unbelievers and be killed in the process. And he failed to be killed in the process. He failed to kill any unbelievers, but that was obviously his intent.
So the appeal and the idea and act of terrorism, that's what we would call it today, they might call it jihad, is woven into the theology of Islam?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And this is the big secret that nobody wants to talk about, that everybody from Barack Obama on down is in the business of denying. And I think that it is a suicidal denial. And the more that we deny it, the more we're going to pay for that denial. Because, you know, an unrealistic, half-hearted analysis, a politically correct analysis that covers up that fact, is going to leave us capable of being blindsided, just like we were by Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab. He's somebody who, you know, educated in London, educated in the British school in Togo, people would have pointed to him and said, this is a moderate Muslim, this is what we're trying to do, win over the hearts and minds of young Muslims by being kind and generous to them. And this is what happens, because nobody was concerned that he was a devout Muslim, nobody was concerned that he was a deep believer in Islam, because they didn't understand the import of what that means, and they still don't. They still refuse to understand it.
This attempt follows on the heels of a, if you call it, a successful attempt at Fort Hood late last year by none other than a member of the U.S. military who is also equally a devout and enthusiastic Muslim. Your thoughts there?
Well, there's very much a connection, actually connections on several different levels in this regard, because the believers in this case, in both cases, you have the Muslims who are clearly very devout, who are publicly devout, who make no secret of their deep religious commitment, and who show a clear knowledge of the Quran and Islamic teaching to those around them. But also, there's a connection in Yemen that both of them have been linked to Anwar al-Awlaki, who is an al-Qaeda cleric, actually an American, who is now in Yemen, and he seems to have had contact with both. And interestingly enough, in October of 2009, al-Awlaki wrote that he thought that Yemen was very soon going to become a center of jihad activity. And here we are, you know, we have Hassan, and then just a few weeks later, we have Abdulmutallab, and it seems clear that if al-Awlaki does not have a hand in organizing these things, he's certainly encouraging them.
The security officials, both in the government and in the private airline industry, say that this is a kind of a singular incident. They say in this one instance, the system didn't work. There were some human errors. There were some lapses. We need to strengthen it. But day in, day out, the successes are there. I don't want to deny the successes, but how do you explain the lapse in security here?
Well, there were some very suspicious things about this. I mean, there's the sharply dressed man who has never been explained, who showed up in Amsterdam and went up to the ticket counter with Abdulmutallab and vouched for him that he had no passport, but the sharply dressed man assured them that he was trustworthy and was able to travel without the passport. Now, that's absurd, really, and it should not have been allowed. But some people have claimed in the wake of that that there are many people from sub-Saharan Africa who travel without passports. Oh, well, this is something that's going to have to change, you know, and that's one place where it's not just human error. It seems to be a procedure that is wrongheaded and perhaps based on some pre-jihad ways of thinking in terms of the modern jihad, that is.
Is the answer here to say, okay, we found another country where terrorism might be originating, we'll crack down on security vis-a-vis that country, or should, at least from the U.S. perspective, the view be broader with regard to the Islamic world?
Very much the view should be broader. I mean, really, you know, there was an announcement that the TSA now is going to do special screening for passengers coming in from 13 Muslim countries as well as Cuba in the wake of this. And that's all to the good. But what about nationals from those countries who come in from places like Britain and France? No special screening for them. And so it's kind of absurd, really, to think that this is going to stop Islamic jihadists. But at least it's a symbolic move that indicates that even if we're not willing to say so publicly, we are aware that there is a threat coming from the Islamic world.
With about a minute and a half, if President Obama were to ask you for your advice on how to proceed forward with Islamic extremism and terrorism, what would you say to him?
I would say there are many things that we need to do. In the first place, we need to start speaking about the threat forthrightly, calling upon American Muslim advocacy groups to acknowledge that there are elements of Islamic texts and teachings that encourage warfare against unbelievers, to renounce those elements of Islam, and to institute transparent, inspectable programs that teach against those elements of Islam in Islamic mosques and schools in America, to reconfigure our alliances worldwide so that we're not giving money to countries like Pakistan, which turn around and give our money to our enemies. And we need, of course, above all, a Manhattan Project to find alternative energy sources and to get us off foreign policy dependence on the Saudis.
Robert Spencer is founder of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can purchase that book at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Robert, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Rita Marker. There was a recent decision by the Montana Supreme Court about assisted suicide. Now, the law, I think, didn't have much to do with assisted suicide, but some were trying to shoehorn or prevent others from shoehorning physician-assisted suicide into an existing Montana law. A trial judge said, no, you can't get physician-assisted suicide out of this law. But the Montana Supreme Court set aside his decision and said, oh, yes, you can. We'll find out what this means for the movement for physician-assisted suicide. Rita Marker, director of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, based in Steubenville, Ohio, will be our guest. Then we'll continue this first hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday, January the 4th, with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Spend some time with her teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about the baptism of Jesus. In the second hour of the program, Doug Johnson of National Right to Life will join us. We'll get an update on abortion and health care reform legislation. And then Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service and GetReligion.org will be our guest. He's going to review for us some of the biggest stories from 2009 with regard to religion and the press's coverage of religion. That's in the second hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. I'll be talking with Rita Marker right after this.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.